and you're excited about it, but after youth camp is over, your pastor scarcely sees you until it's time for youth camp the next year. You can find a way to do everything else that you want to do, but you can't make it to the house of God more than once or twice a week. Listen, if you're having trouble being faithful to church when you're able, then you need to get off of the fence. If you're having trouble being faithful in your Bible reading and your personal devotions, then young person, you need to get off the fence. If you're having trouble getting in when the Holy Ghost is moving like He was last night, then it's time for you to get off of the fence. Help us, Lord. We read here in 1 Kings chapter 18. We read about a group of people who were riding the fence. Elijah, he says to Ahab, he says, I want you to call all of Israel to me. And all the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Grove, and I want you to meet me up on Mount Carmel. But when they come, you know who the first person is that Elijah talks to? It's not the king sitting in his chariot. It's not the prophets all dressed up in their brand new suits and ties. But the ones that the man of God speaks to is the people of God. Oh, I believe, young people, that you have been chosen by God. And God has placed His hand upon your life. He has a work for you to do. But Elijah's there on Mount Carmel. He asked me, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If there's any question that I could ask this generation of young people this morning, it would be, how long halt ye between two opinions? Or how long is it going to be before you make up your mind to do what's right? How long is it going to be before you decide whether or not you're going to live for God and do what God has for you to do? But see, you as young people, you are pulled on every side. Every time you come to youth camp or every time you go to the house of God, the preacher's telling you, don't do the things of the world. Don't do the things that the world wants you to do. But then you go down to the public school and you get around your friends and they say, oh, don't listen to that preacher. Don't do what the preacher tells you to do. And young person, this morning, you are being pulled in two different directions, and you cannot make up your mind what you want to do. You love the feeling when the Holy Ghost moves on you. You love the feeling when the Spirit of God comes all over you, but you also love the feeling of being accepted into the popular crowd. Young person, this morning, it's time for you to get off of the fence. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice some things this morning about this story. The first thing that I want you to notice is that being on the fence had affected their relationship with God. In verse number 21, Elijah asked the people, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? And then he says, if the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal be a god, then follow him. Now Baal was considered the god of rain and the god of thunder. And you realize that at this point, for 3.5 years, the nation of Israel has not experienced rain. For these years, Baal has not done his thing. But because the people were on the fence about their worship and about their religion, they were still following after this false god. Listen, this meeting on Mount Carmel never should have taken place. God never should have had to prove Himself to the people, to His people. These were God's chosen people. These were not Baal's chosen people. Baal never should have been a factor. But let me tell you this morning how the worship of Baal came about. At first, the name of Baal was used by the Jews only for the God Jehovah without discrimination. But slowly they begin to use the name of Baal for the god Hadad. Now Baal worship was advocated by Queen Jezebel herself, and Baal worship took the worship of God and mixed it with the worship of Hadad. The worship of the people of Israel was no longer as pure as it had once been and as God intended it to be, where the Almighty God of heaven had once been worshipped as the supreme being and supreme ruler of the universe. universe. They had now tried to reduce him to just another god. They wanted to mix God in with their worship. They wanted to mix God in with what they wanted to do. But riding the fence had affected the relationship of Israel with the Almighty God. Oh, doesn't that sound like our world today? Doesn't that sound like some of our young people at youth camp? We want to try to mix a little bit of God in with a little bit of the world. We want to try to hold on to God with one hand, and we want to hold on to the world with the other hand. But society has tried to minimize our God. They have kicked him out of the schools while allowing Satanists to have their worship meetings on campus. They have thrown out his word by saying that it's no longer relevant today. They've disregarded his spirit by saying that it was only for the apostles. But young people, we live in a blended society. Our society has taken the word of God and they have made it into movies that border on immorality, and we have taken the cross and they have reduced it only to something that we wear around our necks. But riding the fence for our nation has affected our relationship with God. Now, I haven't come this morning to discuss politics, but our own president has made the statement that we are no longer a Christian nation, but we are now a Muslim nation. We are no longer considered one nation under God. But President Ronald Reagan had it right when he said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Praise God. As a society, our relationship with God has changed because we've been riding the fence for so long through the decisions of the Supreme Court, through the decisions of our Congress. We've ridden the fence. Oh, but let me bring it a little closer to home. There are some young people this morning in this service that have been riding the fence, and it has affected your relationship with God, young person. Where God used to be number one, now he's lucky if he can crack the top five. Oh, I'm preaching to you this morning, you're not as faithful as you used to be. You're not as willing to do a work for God as you were one time. You don't cry and weep in the altars like you used to. The things that you once felt like were wrong, you've got to the place where now you begin to question, and the things that you used to stand against, now you started doing them, young person. I want to tell you this morning that you are in a dangerous place. You can't live for God and live for the world at the same time. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. And I've come to tell you this morning that it's time to get off of the fence. Praise God. The second thing I want you to notice about this story is that being on the fence did not keep them from getting close to the altar. Oh, listen to me right here, verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all Israel, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now Elijah starts repairing the altar of God, but first he calls the people to come closer. He wanted them to get as close as they could to the altar. And all that while that Elijah's building the altar, stone by stone, those people of Israel are right there close by. But I feel like this morning that there are some young people that are riding the fence, but it doesn't keep you from getting close to the altar. Now, before you justify yourself by that statement, I watched some of you yesterday morning, and I watched some of you last night in the spirit. The Lord was moving. And when the altar call was given, you came down to the front. But when you got here, you didn't pray. You didn't raise your hands. You were more interested in finding out what your friends were going to be doing after the service than you were about what God was going to do. Oh, no, young person. Being on the fence hasn't kept you from getting close to the altar. But that that's as far as you ever go. You come up to the front and you want to be a spectator like we talked about yesterday. You might even come up here and pray for other people when you yourself need to have an experience. God, everybody else may think that you're okay. Everybody else may think that you have a healthy, thriving relationship with God. But deep inside, things are not right. Listen, young people, getting close to the altar is not the same as being on the altar. Oh, what do you mean, Brother Day? I mean, you cannot ride the fence and still expect to see a continuous move of God in your life. God, in His grace and in His mercy, He may allow you to feel His presence, but He will not allow you to live as you please and yet be His anointed messenger. Continuously, there's a trend amongst our young people, and I feel like it's getting even more prominent. But the trend is this, is to get us close to the world and still be considered a Christian. Oh, can I do this and still be saved? Can I do that and still be separate from the world? Can I do this and not have my pastor breathing down my neck? Oh, young people, we've got it all wrong. The question should not be, how close can I get to the world? But the question we should be asking ourselves this morning is, how far can I get from the world? Praise God. We don't need to be seeing how close we can get to the world and still live for God. We don't need to be trying to see how close we can get to the altar and still remain unattached. But we should be trying to see how close we can get to God and what He has for us to do. Young people, it's time to get off of the fence. But the third thing I want you to notice this morning is, being on the fence was only cured when the fire fell. Praise God. Elijah built that altar and he had him pour the water on it. See, Elijah didn't want there to be any doubt when God answered by fire that he wasn't trying to trick somebody. He wasn't trying to psych somebody out, but he wanted them to know that when God answered, he wanted them to know that it was God. So Elijah built that altar and prayed for he just prayed a 62 word prayer. And you know what verse number 38 says? Then the fire of the Lord fell. Praise God. Oh, I believe it could be said of last night on a Tuesday night, then the fire of the Lord fell. But I want you to notice verse number 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." What was it that took a group of people that just a little while earlier couldn't make up their mind and turned them into a group of people that were ready to serve God and acknowledge the Godship of the Almighty? I'll tell you what it was. It was the fire falling. Oh, listen to me this morning, young people. The reason that some of you can't stay off of the fence, the reason that some of you can't make up your mind, is because the fire hasn't fallen in your life yet. Oh, listen, the theme for Camp Blessing is Pentecost again. Oh, we've heard the story of the upper room when they were in one accord in one place and suddenly the fire fell. But I want to tell you, we weren't there. We weren't at Azusa Street when revival broke out. Oh, but we are at Camp Blessing 2013. And the same Holy Ghost that fell in the upper room, the same fire that fell on those 120, can fall upon us this morning. Praise God. In 1872, a man by the name of James McCauley, along with his family, he started running a small hotel on Glacier Point in Yosemite National Park. One night, in order to provide entertainment for his guests, Mr. McCauley, he built a huge bonfire. And when everybody was ready to go back to the hotel for the night, he simply kicked the coals off of that cliff that it was built by. There were some campers down below that saw those coals falling through the air, and they loved it. And thus was born the Yosemite Firefall.
And for until it became one of the greatest traditions in the park, until it was discontinued in 1968. But the thing that made it happen every single night during the summer season was that a park ranger below would call up to Glacier Point at 9 o'clock, and all he would say is, "Let the fire fall." Praise God. All it took, young people, was just a simple call up to Glacier Point for the fire to fall. Listen, what we need, the fire to fall right here at Camp Blessing. Oh, I know Brother Lester's been praying for it, and I've been asking God for it, but it's only going to happen. The only thing that's going to allow the fire to fall is for you to get off the fence and say, "God, I'm ready to see the fire fall in my life. It's time to get off of the fence." Praise the Lord, sweetheart, come get me a song. Many of you have heard the story of the Alamo. There in Texas, General Santa Anna and his army from Mexico had held the small mission, the Alamo mission, under siege, trying to defeat the Texans inside. But it became evident that there was going to be a fight to the death, and those small band of Texas volunteers, the odds were not in their favor. But tradition says that there were 182 Texans going up against thousands of Mexican soldiers. And the legend says that on March the 3rd, 1836, Colonel William Travis took his sword and drew a line in the sand and said, "Everybody that will stand and fight, I want you to cross this line and stand with me." And according to that tradition, 181 of those men, of those 182, crossed that line and stood with Colonel Travis that day, including Colonel James Bowie, who was sick in bed. He had men carry his cot across that line, and all those men lost their lives fighting for what they believed in. But it was their stand at the Alamo, and the cry of the Texan army became, "Remember the Alamo." It was the stand of those men that spurred the Texans on to win their independence from the nation of Mexico. Oh, do you know why that group of 181 men left their mark on history? It was because they weren't satisfied to ride the fence. But they got off the fence. They said, "We are making our stand. This is what we believe in. And this is what we're going to stand for." Oh, they made a choice. They wanted everybody to know where they stood. Oh, I believe there's some young people this morning that you need to get out of your seat and you need to make a stand in this altar, and you need to let everybody know where you stand. I want you to get up right now. Would you stand with us all across the house? Oh, I really feel like there's some young people that when you came to Camp Blessing 2013, you were back and forth. You were in church and then you were out of church, and you would get in and get something from God, and then you would go right back to the sin that you were living in, and you're still, even this morning, you are on the fence. But I want to tell you that if you'll get off the fence and you'll make a stand for God, God will do great things in your life, young people. Hallelujah. Oh, I wonder if there's some young person this morning, you've been on the fence this morning. I want to ask you if you'd be the first one to step out of your seat and come to this altar. Say, "God, I know that you have something for me at youth camp. I know that you want to do a work in my life. And this morning I've been indecisive, but this morning I'm making a stand. And I want everybody to know, you know, some of you may be scared to go home, and you may be going to situations that I have no idea. Your home life may be destroyed. You may come from broken homes, but I want to tell you, maybe your daddy was an alcoholic, and maybe your mama's an alcoholic, and maybe your grandpa was an alcoholic, but I want to tell you this morning, you can break the cycle, and you can make a stand. And when you leave Camp Blessing 2013, it doesn't matter what your home life is, it doesn't matter what your past may be, when you leave Camp Blessing, you can leave
leave with the victory because you decided to get off the fence and take a stand for God. Oh, come on, young people. Oh, come on, young people. Come on, young people. Oh, bless these ladies. Bless these young men. Oh, God's got something for you in these altars. God's got a work for you in these altars. But it's up to you to get off of the fence. Hallelujah. Oh, some of you need the fire to fall in your life.